and his wife and his two youngest. They are at Treasure Valley Baptist Church this weekend. He's preaching at their 50th anniversary, so keep them in your prayer, and I'm sure they would appreciate it. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1 tonight. I believe Pastor's been going through Colossians, right? And so just as I've been trying to pray and study and things like that, this kind of came to mind. And so I do not think we're going to get through all this tonight, and that's okay. But we're going to get through it. Appreciate your prayer tonight. I've had a pretty interesting day or so. Brother Jordan and I were up in Seattle last night watching the Blues beat the Kraken. Amen. And so on our way home, we got rear-ended by somebody. And so praise the Lord. For the most part, okay, but we got whipped pretty good. So today has just been trying to figure out some stuff with that. And all those things. So my mind's a little bit just jumbled today with everything. Everything's okay. No one was hurt severely, anything like that. Just maybe a little bit of whiplash, but just all that stuff keeping in mind and everything. So praise the Lord for his protection. Amen. And he keeps us safe. And even in the midst of that, it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. The guy was nice and everything. So once again, though, just pray for me tonight. My mind can kind of be focused. It's been a busy day. But Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start off in verse number 1. The Bible says this. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's jump down to verse number 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this night. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be in church this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can be sinners saved by grace, God. That whether we like it or not, we're sinners. Lord, we're not deserving of your love or kindness. But God, because of your grace, I'm thankful that we can be saved and have our lives changed. Lord, I thank you for the holiness that you can help us to have. Lord, we know we're not holy without you, but Father, we can take time to be holy because of you. So thank you for those things and those songs, God. And tonight, just as we get into your word, I pray you'd bless this time. Lord, I do pray tonight, God, I plead the blood of Christ on myself and ask God that you'd cleanse me and forgive me of anything in my heart or mind, God, that would hide your power or strength from me tonight. Empty me of myself and God, give me what I need. Father, these folks came out on the Thursday night to hear from you. And God, not for my sake tonight, but Lord, for their sake, would you please help me? Lord, would you please give me the words to say? Would you give me some clarity of mind? As I said, I'm just a little distracted from the things going on today. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that would not hinder anything tonight. But God, I'm just a vessel. Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece, nothing more. And so, Father, please get me out of the way. Lord, use me tonight for your glory and honor to help these folks gathered. So, Lord, whatever your will may be and whatever aspect it may be, I pray you'd move. I pray you'd work. I pray you'd be glorified. And so, Father, as we get into this, Lord, I pray you'd help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you are the one that deserves it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So to get here to Colossians chapter 1, of course we know that Paul is speaking to these Christians at Colossae. He's writing to this church at Colossae. And what we find is that Paul had some desires for these Christians at Colossae. In verse number 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Right, so he's writing to these Christians here, he's speaking to them, and he has some things he wants to see in their life, some things he's hoping for and longing for and wanting out of these Christians, and I believe we can look at some of these things and apply them to our lives and take note of them and say, hey, if Paul would write to these Christians at Colossae and say, this is what I want to see from you, I'm sure we could say the same thing, that hey, the church at Faith Baptist Church in Chehalis, Paul would say, I want to see these things from you in your life. But I also find here that Paul didn't just desire things, but he also prayed for them, right? He didn't just desire and say, hey, I want to see this and I'm hoping for this and you should be this or you should do this or you should have this. He prayed for these Christians in Colossae. It says, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire. And I think that's an important thing to note. Not just pray for him, but he says, I don't cease to pray for him. It wasn't just, oh, we're sitting down for lunch, so let's pray quick. No, it was time to pray, and day by day, Lord, please help these Christians. Please do something in their life, these things I want to see and I hope for. And I think that's a good admonition for us to be making sure we're praying for the people that we want to see some things happen in their life, right? Because it's very easy, especially, you know, I'm an associate pastor. I'm the head of a youth group. I have people I minister to. And not just me, but you as well. It's easy to want things from people, right? Or desire things from people. Not bad things, not selfish things, good things. Good things that we should want to desire and want to see in people's lives, that they live for God, that they do right, that they get sin out of their life, and all these things we're going to talk about. It's easy to desire those things, but do we take time to pray for those things in people? Right? Many times we have that, man, I wish the youth group would be this, or I wish so-and-so would be this, or I wish this would happen. Once again, it's good things. It's not like we're being mean or nasty. Like, we want good for them. But I know myself, I can sometimes be caught up in just wanting things and hoping for things, but how many times am I praying for those things to happen? How many times can I say, like Paul, man, I'm not ceasing to pray for so-and-so that God does this in their life, or they start to be this, or they get out of this, or whatever the case may be. I think it's a good thought for us that, hey, we need to be praying for the people that we want to see things from, right? And once again, it can be easy to kind of get mad at times or upset or discouraged because, well, hey, so-and-so's not this, and I've been hoping so-and-so would do this or be a part of that. Well, how much are you praying for them? And I think some things that we can see from that is, A, these things would happen because of God's power, not Paul's power. Right? These things that we see that he's desiring, they weren't going to happen because just Paul was some amazing preacher or teacher or pastor or missionary that could bring it out of those folks. Right? He wasn't saying, it's my power. No, it had to come from God. That's why there had to be prayer. And can I tell you tonight, if anything happens in someone else's life for the cause of Christ, it's not going to be because of you. It's going to be because of God. And sometimes, once again, we have the right intentions and the right motives, but we just think, well, man, if I preached this, or if I taught this, or if I said this to them, if I did this thing, that's what would get them to change. Well, the Lord may use that if his hand's on it, but ultimately, God is the one that's going to do the work in their life. So you know what you need to be doing? You need to be praying. It's not just, well, I need to start doing this. And I said, well, if the Lord tells you, go ahead. But maybe you just need to start praying more for them, that the Lord does the work in their life, because that's what's going to make the difference, is God's power, not your own. Not your charisma, not your preaching skill, not your ability to coerce someone into something. No, it needs to be God. And that can be hard sometimes as a human being, right? As a man, as a pastor, I understand that, because many times, and sometimes I need to step back and say, you know what, maybe I should pray for them more than trying to figure out how to fix them or figure out how to get that to happen in their life. And so I believe, A, we see that these things would happen because of God's power, not Paul's power. But also then, B, I see in that don't expect any difference to be made if there's no prayer. Right? Don't expect a difference to be made in that person's life. And hey, it may be your spouse, it may be your kid, it may be your parent, maybe a church member, maybe the ones God's given you to minister to. Don't expect a difference to be made without prayer. And I kind of alluded to it, but once again, sometimes we get so discouraged and why is not stuff not happening? People aren't living for God, and people aren't faithful to church, and people aren't serving the Lord or this person. Well, how much have you prayed for that to happen? And once again, they still have a free will, and just because you say a prayer does not mean all of a sudden, oh, I prayed for him once, so this all. But I think many times we neglect prayer. We neglect the fact that we need to be praying for them for these things to happen, because God needs to do the work. And if you ain't praying, don't be complaining, amen? So pray for them. And something else, we're going to come back here, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just a little tidbit about the praying for people. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says this. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And I have that underlined there where Paul says to Timothy that he's praying without ceasing for him. And I have written beside it, are you praying for your Timothy or Timothys? right? Because I believe there should be some Timothys that we each have in our lives of maybe it is a family member, maybe it is someone in the church, maybe someone younger, maybe someone older, but someone that us as a Christian should try to be helping along, trying to encourage, trying to make a difference in their life for Christ. And you know, it's a good reminder, hey, am I praying for them? Because that's going to make the difference. So, hey, do you have a Timothy tonight? And if you do, are you praying for him? And maybe that's something you need to write in your Bible just as a reminder. Am I praying for my Timothy? Amen. Because they need your prayers just like you need prayer. Amen. And so let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Like I said, I don't really plan on getting through all this, and that's okay. I'm going to try not to rush tonight. I did my notes not write down as much because I was like, oh, I have a lot to get through, but we'll just see how the Lord leads. But let's look at Paul's prayer and desire for these Christians tonight. So I see four things, and maybe in case we don't get through all of them, maybe if you are taking notes or want to write down, the four things that I see that he had a desire for were, one, his desire for the will of God. You see that in verse number 9, the will of God in verse number 9. Number 2, his desire and prayer for their walk with God, their walk with God in verse number 10. Thirdly, I see his prayer and desire for the working of God in verse number 11, the working of God in verse number 11. And then in verse number 12, lastly, his prayer and desire for their worship of God, their worship of God in verse number 12. But let's look at his prayer and desire for the will of God in verse number 9. The will of God, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so what do we find here? That Paul was praying, and his desire was what? That they would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that they would know what the will of the Lord was for their lives. And I just want to tell you tonight, Christian, that the Lord wants you to know what his will is for your life. Amen. The Lord wants you to know what his will is, just like he prayed for the knowledge of his will, right? He wouldn't have been saying, hey, I'm praying this for you, if it wasn't something that they could have, right? If it wasn't something that they could know, go to, and once again, just keep your spot here all night, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse number 17, Ephesians 5, 17, the Bible says this. The Bible says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So understand that Paul's saying and God's saying, hey, I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, guess what? God wouldn't be telling you to understand what the will of the Lord is if you couldn't know what the will of the Lord is, right? That'd be a little bit contradictory. But he wants you to understand it. He wants you to know it for your life. And even if you just jump a chapter over, Ephesians 6, 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Right? So God wants you to do the will of God. Well, how can you do the will of God if you don't know the will of God? Amen. And the point I'm just trying to make tonight is the Lord wants you to know what his will is. And sometimes I feel like we think, and I don't get too far ahead of myself, but that God's will is spooky or mysterious or impossible to grasp. That's not the case. God wants you to know what his will is. And a couple ways or two things that I thought of that we can know that is the Bible tells you what his will is. Amen. There are some things in God's word where you can clearly see that God's will for my life is such and such a thing. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're, is that right? Yes, it is right. Amen. Sometimes, what's the will of God for my life? Well, just read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you can see what God's will for your life is. It's not always complicated. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, this is just one example, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you're all petrified in fear and worry and anxious about what God's will for your life is tonight, you know what it is? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, right? You can look at Scripture and say, well, hey, one thing I know that the Lord wants me to do in my life is in everything give thanks, to be thankful. There's other places, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians as well, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. You know what God's will is? To stay away from fornication, amen. And as you go through Scripture, you know what you can find? Things that God clearly tells you as a Christian to do or not to do. So you can look at Scripture and say, hey, the Bible says I shouldn't lie. So guess what God's will is? For you to not lie. I should tell the truth. You can, and once we can go through a bunch of examples and for sake of time and all that kind of stuff. But you can go to God, to God's Word to find God's will, amen. You know what one of the best things you can ever do in your life is? If you're going through something or trying to figure out what to do, well, first off, go to God's Word and see if God specifically says what you should do or not do. Amen, right? You can go to God's Word. But what about times, though, where maybe the Bible does not specifically talk about it, right? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's what God wants you to do with your life or whatever. Well, you know, there's not a specific verse in the Bible that says, Aaron Riddle, God's will for you is to be the associate pastor of Faith Baptist Church. So what about things like that? Well, I believe that the Bible tells you when you're looking for God's Word, but I also believe that the Lord will lead you when it comes to His will. Right? The Lord will guide you and direct to you and speak to you to let you know what His will for your life is. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. He will work and guide and direct, and the Holy Spirit will show you in your life what God's will is for your life and things. Psalm 37 and verse number 23, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know what? If you're living for God, if you're doing your best to follow him and acknowledge him, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not in thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what? God has promised you that, hey, if you put me first, if you're following after me, I'm going to direct your steps. I'm going to direct your path. God will show you what his will for you is. Right? He wants us to do his will. He wants us to live for him and follow and be inside his will. So why wouldn't he show us that? And can I encourage you, you don't have to stress about it. You don't have to be anxious about it. Yes, you should pray. We're going to talk about some things here. And yes, sometimes finding that will, you have to do some things or not do some things. But you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be stressful. Oh my, what's God? God will show you. God is faithful. Over in 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says this. The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Right? God's not going to have you walking around like a chicken with your head cut off on a wild goose chase trying to figure out his will. He gives peace. He gives direction. He gives comfort. And hey, this is what God wants me to do. I guarantee you, if you are in tune with God and in a right relationship with God, if you are following God's will, you're going to know it. God is going to give you that peace and that direction and that comfort of, hey, I'm not saying there's no fears or no worries or no what ifs, but you know what I've experienced in my life? When God has wanted me to do something or not, he shows me it. If I'm right with him, he clearly lets me know if it's his will or not his will. Sometimes, though, you know what happens? We struggle, though, with knowing the Lord's will. Right? Because I'm sure all of us, well, what about this? And there's this thing, and I don't feel like maybe I know God's will, or yeah, I know I'm praying, or whatever. And sometimes we do struggle, right? Because the Bible doesn't specifically say in this area or aspect, this is God's will. So what about those things? What about when we struggle? Well, I thought about a couple of things, at least in my life, of sometimes why I've struggled with knowing what the Lord's will is. Number one, we don't put much effort in asking him for what his will is. Can I tell you tonight, if you want to know God's will, you need to ask him for it. You need to put effort and prayer into seeking God and saying, okay, Lord, in this aspect, in this thing in my life, what is your will? Because sometimes we go ahead ourselves and are trying to find, you know, even in our, we're trying to find God's will. So I got to do this, or I got to make this decision, or I got to go here, or I got to do this. And we do all these things. You know what we never do? Take time to just say, no, God, what do you want? What is your will for my life? If you go over to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and verse number 14, the Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So let me ask you a question. I need your response here, okay? Do you think God wants you to know what his will for your life is? Okay. So if it's according to his will, that then he hears us. And we have the petitions that we ask of him. So you know what that means? If you come to God with a genuine open heart of, Lord, I'm seeking you, and I genuinely want what you want, and I'm trying to follow you, Lord, would you... He's going to answer your prayer, and he's going to show you what his will is for your life. That's a promise that he hears us. But once again, you know where sometimes we fault? We don't actually take the time to seek him and say, no, God, I'm like actually praying, and not once again, like, oh, I'm praying for my breakfast, so God, show me what your will is, amen. No, maybe you need to just calm down a little bit and take some stillness and say, no, I'm setting apart some time to pray and talk to God and let God know, hey, Lord, I really would like to know what your will is in this. And I'm not saying you have to do it all the time, but maybe sometimes too, God maybe wants you to fast. Amen. If it's a big decision, if it's a big deal, you know it'd be good. Hey, Lord, I'm serious about knowing what your will is, so I'm going to skip a meal. I'm going to skip a day of meal as to what? God, I want to know what your will, and I'm showing that, Lord, I'm seeking after you. I'm denying myself to know. That'd be a good thing to do. Amen. Back, I think it's in the book of Ezra, when they're traveling, there comes a spot where Ezra comes to the river Ahava, and you know, he says, we didn't know what to do, so you know what he did? He proclaimed a fast to know what the will of God is. And I'm not saying every little thing in your life, or if God hasn't given you an answer, you better fast, but there are some things in my life that, you know what, were a big deal, so you know what I needed to do? God, I'm going to fast because I need, hey, moving out here, that was a big deal, so you know what I did? God, I'm gonna take some time to let you know I'm serious and seeking your will. But sometimes I don't think we seek the Lord like we should. I'm not trying to get you all worked up or confused tonight. I'm like, oh man, am I not seeking God? You know if you're seeking the Lord or not and whatever that thing is, right? You know how much time you spent in prayer or seeking the Lord. I'm not saying you have to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week doing nothing but praying, God, what's your will? God, what's your will? But you know what I'm talking about, of actually seeking him. And maybe you do need to take some time, if it's important, to say, no, God, what do you want? And I'm even going to deny myself to show you that I'm seeking your will. And so sometimes we struggle with knowing the Lord's will because we don't put much effort into asking him. But another reason I believe why we struggle with knowing the Lord's will is because we really want our will, not God's will. You know what I found a lot in my life at times when I'm struggling a lot with, okay, there's this thing or there's this decision and I'm praying about it and I'm seeking God's will. It's not that God hasn't shown me what his will is. It's that I really want what my will is. And so whenever he shows me what his will is, I make excuses of why that's not God's will. And I'm sure I'm probably not the only one tonight that's done that. Because I hate that feeling, right? Can anyone attest to that tonight? You know, amen? That, you know, I'm praying for something and things, I'm like, well, what about this? What about this? And I'm like, I'm so, and it's like, there's that feeling that God's like, no, this is what I want you to, and I'm like, well, but there's it. And what is it? I'm trying to get my will. And I think we all struggle with that at times. And once again, I'm not trying to get your own head tonight, like, oh, you gotta, but you know tonight. You know if there's something you're praying on or seeking the Lord's will in, and if God's been giving you an answer, God's been showing you things, and you've just been, oh, what, and making excuses or trying to work around it or make it happen or not make it happen or whatever the case may be. Because you know what I've found? That God is faithful, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he acknowledges, we acknowledge him, he directs our paths. And you know, over in, we don't have to turn there for sake of time, but Luke 22, verse 41 through 42, you know, the Lord speaking, Jesus Christ in the garden. You know what he says? Hey, Lord, if it be thy will, pass this cup from me. But you know what he says? Not my will, but thine be done. And he was real about that, right? He wasn't like you and I sometimes, like, oh yeah, Lord, you know, God, I'm praying for this, and Lord, I want your will. But we know in our heart that we really want what we want. We're really not resigned to what his will is. We're just hoping if we pray hard enough and force things hard enough and do things hard enough that maybe God will do. And there's nothing wrong with having a desire, right? Jesus prayed, hey, if it's can be. But he was resigned. You know what, though, God? Ultimately, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. And you have to get to that point in your life, Christian, where you're okay with not getting what you want and doing what God wants. That's really hard. That really stinks. I think sometimes God does it in my life just to be like, hey, you know, I know you like doing my will when it's my, when it's your way and it lines up with what you want and it fits. But what about those things where, man, it's like, don't really want to do this. If I can be honest, I'm not going to get into what it was, but several weeks ago, the Lord did something with that in my, and it was something that was kind of a big deal and I was praying about, and I'm like, and then I got to this point where I was like, well, you know what? I don't really feel like God had, you know, shown me what his will is. And he kind of, because once again, maybe it's not to say, but you just know when the Lord puts something on your heart. You just can't, you know, it's one of those things for me. It's like, if this keeps coming back to my mind and I don't want it in my mind, but it keeps coming back to my mind, that's probably the Lord trying to tell me something. And he had done something, I was thinking about it, kind of praying on it, and it was like nothing. I was like, I don't really. And then some time went by, and I was even talking to Naomi about it because we had been praying about some stuff, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really feel like, you know, God hasn't really put on my heart. And then you know, I did one day, I was just thinking, and the Lord was like, you need to pray some more about this. And I, no, okay, Lord, you know, Lord, give me your will. I'm praying, and then the Lord kind of hit me with, like, you know what I want you to do. You've been fighting it. You know what I put on your heart. And then, like, as soon as that feeling came back of, like, whoa, yeah, I've been completely pushing back. And I had to realize that, you know what, I needed to get over my will. Because the Lord clearly showed me what he wanted. And so sometimes if you're struggling with what the Lord's will is, it may be because you're trying to push your agenda and your will and not really submitted to what God's will is. And so we see that sometimes it's because we don't put much effort into asking him. Sometimes it's because we really want our will, not God's will. But then another thing, at least in my life, maybe no one else, I bet no one else struggles with this, but it's because we're impatient. It's because we're impatient. It's because sometimes God takes some time before we're ready to know what his will for us is. Right? I mean, I know we have the prayer, and what we want is, like, I'm going to pray for this, and automatically God's going to answer my prayer and show me. And once, even if we're resigned, okay, Lord, I'll do, but we want it to happen. And what happens? We pray for it, and we don't get that answer right away, and then all of a sudden we start freaking out because, well, man, God hasn't answered my prayer yet, and I don't know what God's will is. You know what I found in my life? That God has always been faithful to show me his will and his timing. And sometimes that means that I need to just calm down and quit freaking out. Because you know what can be my natural response is like, oh my goodness, I got to figure it out now because it's been a couple of days and I've been, or maybe a couple months, or maybe even sometimes a couple years. And God, I've not seen it. And God, I've not gotten the answer. And God, you haven't done this. And then I start, well, I got to overthink this and I got to figure it out. And once again, I understand at times we do need to figure things out. And God does tell us to do some things, and God does show us some things, and he says, hey, you need it, and we need to be faithful to do it, right? We can't just sit, you know, on our hands and like, oh, you know, I'm just not going to ever do anything and let God just drop. Like, sometimes God says, hey, do this, and you need to do it, amen? But you know what happens a lot of times, at least in my life, I start getting anxious, I start getting stressed, I start getting worried because, well, God hasn't shown me yet what I need to do or what I need to know or what I need to be. And that doesn't help anything because then I can't hear God's will because I'm so consumed with me trying to do this and figure this out. And sometimes you need to just calm down and say, okay, Lord, I'm seeking your will the best I can. I'm right with you as most as I know. And God will show you if you're not right with him and if you need to change something, right? You don't need to sit there and go crazy trying to figure out, am I not right with God? God will show you if there's something you need to get right. But sometimes you just need to calm down and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be still and do what I know I'm supposed to. Remember all those other things the Bible says, this is the will of God. I'll give thanks. I'll stay pure. I'll do these other things. And you know what then happens? When God's like, hey, you finally shut up so you could listen to me. He shows me what his will is. And it's not always in my timing. It's not. Sometimes it's pretty close. Sometimes I'm like, God, I've got a deadline. And God, but every time I have waited on God and sought him, I cannot think of a single time in my life where he's not been faithful to show me what his will is. It's not in my timing. It's not in my way. It's not always how I think it should be. And yes, I start to get, what about this? What about this? Like, I understand. But over in Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, very familiar verses. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And I can remember when I was praying about moving out here, and that was a big deal, right? That affected my life. I was going out to the land of fruits and nuts in the West Coast, and, you know, I knew nothing about the West Coast. And, I mean, man, it was a big deal for my dad's church because they're losing his son and the guy who does a bunch of stuff, and it affects my dad's church. And then I'm going out to this church, so this is going to affect you guys. And, you know, what if I go out there and they don't like me or things go bad? Like, I'm now stuck out here. At the very least, I'm going to make a fool of myself if I have to come back to the East Coast of, like, yeah, that didn't work out. That was a colossal mistake, right? That was a big deal. But I can remember calling Pastor Sherry one time, and we were talking. And one thing he brought up was this verse. He said, you know what you just simply need to do? You need to rest in the Lord. As I just said, you need to calm down and be content and be patient and be okay with where God has you and what God's doing. And when God's timing is to let you know, he will let you know. You know what he did? He let me know when it was time to let me know. And yeah, I had to fast. And yeah, I had to pray. And yeah, I had to seek the Lord. And yeah, I had to. But he was faithful. And can I encourage you tonight that resting is a whole lot more enjoyable than being anxious and stressing out and being consumed with trying to figure out something that God hasn't told you yet what he wants you to do. It's a lot more enjoyable to just stretch out and, okay, Lord, I'm where I am, and I'm just going to relax until it's time to show me, right? It's resting. That's part, once again, it doesn't mean you're not doing what you're supposed to do or serving, you know, waiting on the Lord is being patient, but it's also finding something to do. You're serving, waiting is, but you know what's okay to do sometimes? I'm not going to do that again. But just lie down and rest in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me beside still waters. Right? He restores in those calm pastures. You know what? It's rest. It's being okay with where God has you. And in fact, even enjoying it at times. And you know why you can enjoy it? Because God's got it covered, because God knows what he's doing. You know why we don't rest? Because we don't trust God. And I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I'm trying to be honest and real and trying to help you that's the reason we fret and we worry and we don't feel like we can just kind of sit down and take a breath. It's because we feel like, well, if I don't do something, if I don't figure this out, if I don't, this is going to fall apart. That I'm not going to get help, that I'm not going to get direction, that I'm not going to get an answer, that I'm not. No, it's the exact opposite. Because the more you and I get our sticky little fingers all over it, the more God's hindered from actually showing and doing what he wants us to do. But we work ourselves up and we get, and honestly, I feel like sometimes, I don't say we're addicted to it, but like our flesh likes to be anxious and worry. Your flesh likes to worry. Your flesh likes to be consumed with trying to figure it out and trying to get the answer and trying to do all the things. But you know, one of the best spots you can ever be at in your life is when you're just resting in the Lord. It doesn't mean you don't have desires. It doesn't mean you don't have a prayer. It doesn't mean you don't care at all. But Lord, I've given this to you, and you've promised me that you would direct my steps, and you've promised me that you would show me the way that I'm supposed to go. And so you know what, Lord? If your word's true and you're God, you'll take care of me. And you know what? I can put it in your hands, and when it's time, you'll show me. And guess what? Every time I've done that, it works. Every time you've done that, it worked. But you know what that takes? Resting in the Lord and waiting patiently and not giving it to God and then all of a sudden taking it right back because, oh, now I got it. Nope, Lord, there you go. And it's in your hands, and I'll just wait and pray and focus on what I'm supposed to be focused on. And you know what, God, you'll handle it and you'll take care of it. And yeah, like I said, maybe the Lord will say, hey, you need to pray a little bit more about it. Or, hey, you should fast about it. Or, hey, there's something in your life that's not right that you need. But he'll show you those things. The will of God isn't impossible or unattainable tonight, Christian. You can know it, and God wants you to do it. But you have to be okay with it being God's will, not your will. You got to be okay with it being God's way and not your way, and God's timing and not your timing. And it's an important thing. You know, if you go over to Romans chapter 12, and I think we'll just finish with this tonight. I don't really feel led to continue on with this. But Romans chapter 12, in verse number 2, Romans 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You can prove what God's will is tonight. You can confirm it. You can know it. You can see it. You can have it. But you don't need to have, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? You need to switch your mind and ask for God's help to renew your mind from going from, I got to figure it out and I got to make it work and I got to make it happen. I'm going to rest on God and I'm going to trust in the Lord and I'm going to bring it to God and I'm going to give it to Him and let Him do what He can do best. And you know what? It's the best thing you'll ever do in your life. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. And so as Paul was speaking to these Christians, you know what he said? Hey, you know what my desire and prayer for you is? Hey, that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And God wants the same thing for you tonight. And look, we all have things, right? It may be big things, it may be small things. We all have things where, you know what, we need to find the will of God. You know what the great thing is? We can know it tonight. You can know it tonight. But rest in the Lord. Be patient. Seek Him. And you know what? He'll show you. He'll take care of you. And so that's what I have for tonight. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a couple minutes. We ended pretty early, so we have some time. But the will of God's a big thing tonight. And I don't know where you're at, or maybe you're in a spot where you're just living life and everything's good. Maybe you're in a spot where you've been trying to find God's will and figure out some things. Maybe you just want to spend some time in prayer. I know the altar's not normally open Thursday night. I guess it's not open, but I don't know if it's always used. But you can do business in your seat or altar, whatever you want to do. I just want you to do some business with God tonight and speak to Him if He's spoken to your heart. And then we'll have a time of prayer afterwards like we normally do. So I'll be quiet for the next couple minutes, and you just do some business with God.